You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, James Edwards, Saturday evening, February the 6th. Big hour, first hour, talking about the fallout from Iowa, talking about the dirty tricks played by the Cruz campaign. Matt the Copperhead called in, and he shared with us a first-person accounting of his experience at the Donald Trump rally in Little Rock a few days ago. At that rally, by the way, Trump took questions from the audience, which he rarely does, and certainly not in a vast arena. One young man asked him how he would get rid of gun-free zones, or his opinion on gun-free zones. Trump said, gun-free zones are a disaster. It's like holding candy to a baby. It's like saying, please come here and kill us because we have absolutely no protection. All good stuff. Well, we're going to talk this hour about our predictions going forward for New Hampshire and South Carolina, Nevada, and on and on. But first, Keith mentioned at the end of the last hour, evangelicals. You know, he said, what's up with evangelicals? I want to say this very quickly. This has been on my mind, Keith, so I'm glad you brought it up. You know, we are often critical of the modern church and its apostate leaders on this show, and rightly so. But I will never deny that these are my people and that I love them dearly. You know, I wrote last week on the website, I grew up singing Southern gospel hymns with my parents and grandparents every Sunday morning in the pews of our little church, and it's a huge part of me. And without that conservative upbringing, I likely would have ended up taking a much different path. So always there's going to remain a special place in my heart for Southern Baptists. Being one myself, I feel free to criticize them harshly, but wouldn't allow anyone else to do it. And, you know, frankly, I wouldn't trade my cultural and spiritual heritage that was handed down to me for anything in the world. I'd fight to preserve it, which is why I'm raising my children in the same faith and traditions that were handed down to me. I think there's something very beautiful about that. But I will say this for the evangelicals, Keith, and feel free to disagree with me. And I consider myself to be one. I consider myself to be an evangelical and a fundamentalist. But I think they did surprisingly well, considering that every so-called Christian leader, from the Southern Baptist own Russell Moore all the way down the line, except for Jerry Falwell Jr., came out and endorsed everybody but Trump. In fact, went so far as to say you couldn't be a Christian and vote for Trump. The fact that Trump came in second in Iowa with evangelicals, I thought was surprisingly good, considering how much they've been battered by their fake leaders.
Well, that's the point I wanted to make. There is obviously something rotten in the walls of Denmark in a lot of the denominational headquarters of every Christian denomination, mainline Protestantism, as well as fundamentalism and evangelical churches like the Assembly of God or the Southern Baptists or Church of Christ or whatever. And that's surprising to me. I'm not an evangelical myself. I was raised in the Episcopal Church when they veered off and started putting women in the pulpit and then a homosexual bishop. I had to leave the main line, the main Episcopal Church, and I am now a member of the Reformed Episcopal Church, which broke off from the main one in 1873, and they're still a Bible-believing church that is opposed to abortion, is opposed to a lot of these social justice initiatives like gay bishops and gay marriage.
See, that's no church at all. I mean, there's no way you can reconcile that with anything that Christ and the Bible taught.
Well, here's the problem, and I think we need to be aware of this. Back in the 80s, when I was kind of forming my consciousness on these type of issues, I used to think that the fundamentalists, or the evangelicals, if you will, were going to be the faithful remnant. They were going to be the salt and light of the church. Because at that point, the Roman Catholic Church and most mainline Protestant denominations were fully embracing the social gospel. Like I like to say, they had exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And at the time, you had people like Adrian Rogers, who was like the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, basically standing up to the liberals. He drove them out of their seminaries. He became the moderator, which is like the Southern Baptist Pope, I suppose, the head of the denomination, although it's a temporary position. He basically turned them back towards the old-time religion, and I was very heartened by that. But now we have people like Russell Moore, who says that you can't be a good Christian and a Trump supporter, and you have all of these people that basically... Fundamentalists have now embraced the social gospel with even more zeal than the mainline. People like Steve Gaines at Bellevue Baptist Church now, it's all that we believe in Memphis, which is we believe in minorities, is the real message there. And they're using all their wealth and influence basically to affect the same type of wealth transfer from the white community to the black community that is done in mainline churches. And they've also embraced the heresy of Jewish dispensationalism.
Yes,
for example,
no doubt.
Why do they believe, you know, evangelicals have made mistakes before, so I guess we shouldn't be surprised that they've made a mistake about who the best Republican candidate is. Ted Cruz is a smarmy fellow, quite frankly, and he's getting his money from Goldman Sachs.
He looks
and,
like the villain from Rocky and Bullwinkle, I've come to
Yeah, find. Right. He looks like Simon Bar Sinister.
Smarmy is definitely a word I would use to describe him.
Or else Biggie Rat on Leonardo Lion. But what he is, like the RCA Victor trademark dog with his ear cocked up to the gramophone horn. He knows his master's voice. And he is going to do, for example, you know, think of some of the positions that he has taken. He is not going to, you know, blood is thicker than water, and when it gets right down to it, he's not going to close down the border.
He's more of the same. Look, he's more of the same. He's owned and operated. And that's another thing about Trump. You know, we talked about this last hour. He's owned and operated. You know, he appears to cheat by shaming voters with these phony mail-outs and notices at caucuses.
And more importantly,
Carson left. And then, you know, here's Trump self-financing, speaking his mind. And a lot of Christians have come to that, Keith. A lot of, you know,
Listen to this, though. Just think about this. He also worships at the shrine of Martin Luther King. Remember when they asked Donald Trump about the lack of black candidates at the Oscars, and Donald Trump's reaction was, well, so what? I didn't see a lot of white candidates up for awards at the Black Entertainment BET Awards and things like that. And that kind of shut up the critics at the time. Of course, asked the same question, Ted Cruz started, fluffing and puffing about how wonderful Martin Luther King was and what a wonderful Christian he was and what a great example he set for us. Well, see, this is, and of course, people like Russell Moore at the Southern Baptist Convention were in the Amen corner, you know, about all that. But just think about this. That's the type of man we're dealing with. He's a politically correct fool. And if he gets in, nothing is going to be done that gets the least bit of flack from the politically correct, or from the social justice warriors.
How many times have we seen campaign conservatives, especially in Iowa? You know, Iowa is supposedly this big evangelical bastion, like you say, Keith. They sure don't vote it on general election night. I don't, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, you know, that would be where to go. But, you know, that may play okay in Iowa. There's not a lot of evangelicals in New Hampshire. So if Cruz is betting on them to butter his bread, he's going to get a rude awakening.
Well, as what we say, if Cruz gets in, when all is said and done, more will be said
than
done.
It's just going to be more of the same, another owned and operated elitist. But I'll tell you, again, I think Trump's leading with the Southern Baptists, and nobody has come down harder on him than the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. So overall, I was proud to see him get second place amongst the evangelicals in Iowa. We'll be right back.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Yes, sir. Folks, just to wrap up what we were talking about there just a moment ago with the evangelicals, I will say, as it is with every institution, a big disconnect between the head table and the average congregant in the pew. As I say, I make no amidst no words about myself being a Christian, and I see nothing in the Bible that says I can't be a Christian while also talking about racial realities and the dangers of Jewish power and influence.
Let me say this. If there is something wrong with having a sense of racial solidarity, if there's something inconsistent with having a sense of racial solidarity, and if there's a problem with having a sense of racial solidarity and being a good Christian, then Russell Moore and all these denominational leaders in every denomination, mainline Protestant, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and fundamentalist or evangelical, they all need to have a long, long talk with their black brethren in the clergy, because their black brethren in the clergy think there is nothing whatsoever inconsistent with being a proud member of their own race and speaking out on behalf of the group interests of their race and being a good Christian.
You see, you know, you don't ever see that being talked about by people like Russell Moore. Whites can't be a Christian and vote for Trump, but you never see him admonishing blacks
for voting for Obama.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point, Keith. All right, well, I didn't even intend to get on any of that, but I do want to say this. Iowa was not without its casualties. Immediately after Iowa, the campaigns were ended by Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, and Rand Paul. So three more have fallen out. But
three more conservatives bite the dust.
Yeah, Rand Paul went out with a whimper. He said that in order for the GOP to grow, it has to reach out to minorities. So the same theme
That's the acid test. That's why Ted Cruz will never get my vote. When I see somebody genuflecting to the idol of Martin Luther King, I know, you know, Martin Luther King is the absolute definition of a hypocritical Christian, a man that committed adultery not on a weekly but probably a daily basis.
Well, as much as he could, anyway.
And, you know, he was, quite frankly, you would be hard-pressed to find which of the Ten Commandments he didn't violate on a regular basis.
Exactly.
He makes Jim Baker and Jimmy Swagger look like St. Francis of Assisi.
As I said before, I'm willing to stick my neck out. I am going to say that the Trump train is preparing to roll. Iowa was always a toss-up. Cruz was winning. Trump was winning. Cruz was winning. Trump took a very narrow lead at the end, and then we had the dirty tricks we talked about in the first hour. Cruz eked out a win. Very small margin in a very insignificant and inconsequential state in the grand scheme of things. 150,000 people voted. 150,000 people voted in the Iowa caucus thereabouts. 50,000 went to Cruz. Trump got 45,000. At the end of the day, Cruz won one more delegate than Trump to the nominating convention. This is not a very big victory at all. It's almost a draw.
And more than that, Iowa is a very important state if you're a Democrat, because they will cast votes that will elect a Democratic president if one is elected. But on the other hand, you can have all the Republican support in the world in Iowa, and it's not going to translate into one electoral vote.
All right. The media puffing up this as an implosion, it is not. Now, I say this again. The Trump train is preparing to roll, making political predictions, always a fool's errand, but I'm going to go on the record right now. I'm going to stick my neck out. Hopefully, I'm going to put my face right out there and hopefully not get egg on it. New Hampshire votes on Tuesday. That's the day after, tomorrow's Saturday. Look, Sunday. It's a couple of days from now. He's going to win New Hampshire. He's going to sweep the South. There I said it. If that rally in Arkansas was any indication that we talked about earlier, I think I'm going to be proven right. The establishment media is going to have its dream of a Trump downfall quickly dashed. And here's why. Listen to this clip if we have time to play it before the break. Trump talking about the snake. The snake is illegal aliens. Let's listen to this.
So I read this the other day, and I said, wow, that's really amazing. That's really incredible. And it's the snake lyric. On her way to work one morning, down the path along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor, half-frozen snake. Interesting. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Oh, well, she cried, I'll take you in, and I'll take care of you. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman. Sighed the vicious snake. She wrapped him up cozy in a curvature of silk and then laid him by the fireside with some honey and some milk. Now she hurried home from work, and that night, as soon as she arrived, she found that pretty snake she'd taken and revived. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. Now she clutched him to her bosom. You're so beautiful, she cried. But if I hadn't brought you in, by now you might have died. She stroked his pretty skin, and then she kissed and held him tight. But instead of saying thank you, that snake gave her a vicious bite. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. I saved you, cried the woman, and you've bit me. Heavens, why? You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die. Oh, shut up, silly woman, said the reptile with a grin. You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that make any sense?
Donald Trump, that was Donald Trump in New Hampshire just a couple of days ago. And Keith, that is why Donald Trump is going to win the Republican nomination. No one is going to speak like that. No one speaks like that. Obviously, in that parable, the woman is white Western nations. The woman is America. The snake, Muslims, and illegal aliens, third world rabble.
Yeah, that's the ultimate word on third world immigration, and that's what's going to happen. And liberal naivete, which is the best thing you can attribute our open borders policy to, or Machiavellian evil and the intended destruction and sabotage of Western culture is the other alternative. But either way, it needs to be soundly rejected by people with common sense. There is no issue more important than the immigration issue. Third world immigration is going to kill this nation. I was talking with some woman on another radio show earlier this week, and she was big on being anti-abortion, and she didn't think that Donald Trump was strident enough about that position, even though he's come out as being against abortion. And I pointed out to her, I said, if third world immigration happens, it doesn't matter if you get a temporary reprieve from abortion. Let's say abortion is outlawed by Ted Cruz as president.
And it wouldn't be, obviously.
I know, it wouldn't be. He'd never get around to that. He'd have every excuse in the world why it couldn't be done. But in several years of having open borders, all of these new immigrants would become citizens and voters, and as citizens and voters, they would vote for Democrats, and they would hear their master's voice again, and then what they would do is vote abortion right back in, because that's what their liberal masters want.
Well, all of these people, like Cruz and Bush and whatever, they all say they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. They never even resuscitate. They don't even talk about it once they get elected.
When all is said and done, more will be said than done.
And of course, the Democrats use illegal immigration as a voter registration drive, but just like there is a disconnect between the head of the church and the congregants, there's a big disconnect between the elites in American government and media and the people. And those people are rallying behind Trump. They are emboldened. He gives them cover.
And
big things to come.
He's one candidate on the horizon that is a hope for change.
We're going to shift gears when we come back. Keith's got a couple of stories. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party, .us.
Open your eyes, America. 50 years of cultural Marxism, institutionalized anti-white propaganda, and dysgenic policies on a wide scale have put Western civilization in peril as never before. Metropolis after metropolis, city after city, and town after town have changed from gleaming alabaster to grim third world hellholes. Positive change at last is in the air. Make America great again by supporting Donald Trump for president. Make your financial contribution today at thedailytrump.org. Also, go to the internet or to YouTube and check out these websites and their videos. The American Freedom Party, thedailytrump.org, Faith, Reason, and Western Civilization, American Renaissance, Occidental Observer, Political Cesspool, WhitakerOnline.org, RobertWWhitaker.com, DailyKen.com, Council of Conservative Citizens. Be a part of this great effort to save Western civilization. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Final word here on the polls, and then Keith's going to say something about that clip we listened to in the last segment, the snake, and then he's got some news items here. I'm looking right now. This is just a real-time update. I'm at RealClearPolitics.com. That's really one of the clearinghouses for polls. They track all of the polls and then put together a composite of averages. Nationally, this is post-Iowa, I might add. Post-Iowa, Trump leads, Cruz 34% to 20%. That is the aggregate of all of the polls. That's the average of all the polls. In New Hampshire, Trump has 33%. Rubio is in second with 12% and Cruz in third in New Hampshire, which votes on Tuesday. So do you really think that Cruz is going to make up 20 points in 2 days? It's just not going to happen. Trump's going to demolish them in New Hampshire. In South Carolina, he leads by 17 points. And then it goes to Nevada, and then you have the SEC primary. So if you're a Trump man, I think you're going to be okay. Don't listen to all this media garbage that this is somehow a stumbling block for Trump. He barely, basically a statistical tie, a delegate tie in Iowa where Cruz only got one more. But Keith the Snake.
Okay, well, what's the difference between Iowa and New Hampshire? The difference is presence of a large number of evangelicals in Iowa, but not in New Hampshire. Now, how have evangelicals been led astray? That snake, the lyrics from the song that were being quoted by Donald Trump in the last segment, not only applies to illegal immigrants, it applies to Jewish power and influence. Think of Jewish power and influence as a snake. You know, evangelicals are very much against liberalism. They're anti-liberal. Well, what is the prime mover of liberalism, not only in America, but worldwide? It's Jewish power and influence. For example, when you look at the organizations that are trying to take nativity scenes down from your local town square, you don't find Muslim names. You don't find Mexican names. What you find are Jewish names. Jews are the yeast that makes the dough rise in liberalism. And the fact that people in even some evangelicals have been persuaded that their worst enemy, their first enemy as Christians, their most adamant enemy throughout the two millennium that Christianity has been in existence, and the primary movers, the financiers, the organizers, the directors, the think tankers that have made liberalism triumph in America and the Western world over the past 70 years or so, they are Jews, Jewish people. So consequently, evangelicals need to wake up and smell the coffee. They're the one group that believes in this Jewish dispensationalism. Even the Protestant mainline, as lost as they are, haven't embraced that heresy. Neither has the Roman Catholic Church. This is something that comes right out of John Darby, who was a maverick Scottish theologian in the 19th century who just happened to influence Schofield. And his ideas got into the Schofield Bible, which is the foundational Bible today for most fundamentalist sects. Now, you know, sola scriptura is one of the primary tenets of Protestantism. Only the scripture, not the creeds or litanies of man. Well, that's fine. But if that's one of your principles, you've got to resist the temptation of rewriting the Bible every 10 years, and we have that. I still read the old King James Version. That's the old-time religion. It's good enough for Grandpa, and it's good enough for me. That's what we need to go back to and not listen to all this baloney. Well, having said that, let's move on to some of these articles in the news. This is our Behind Enemy Lines segment that we've always had on this show in a truncated version. First of all, in yesterday's commercial appeal, Wednesday, last week, Wednesday, February the 3rd, there was an article about the new proposed TV series based on the Million Dollar Quartet Tony Award-winning musical, which features Memphis rockabilly music and Sun Records in particular, as the focus. And here's what the commercial appeal said, and they're quoting the producers of this proposed TV series. The synopsis for the television series, sent out as part of the casting notice in late 2015, characterizes the narrative as the story of nothing less than the creation of rock and roll. We see the new music unfold, changing society, paving the way for racial integration. Again, the left never supports anything unless it's a teachable moment. Remember The Blind Side, a pair of over-the-top sports fanatics who wanted to get around rules that prevented them from basically paying athletes to play at their alma mater. Well, when confronted by the NCAA, they spun it so that they were not gonzo sports fanatics, but civil rights heroes. And that took off because that's a narrative that the left likes. They like the idea of prosperous white people adopting poor black children and basically bringing a cowbird into their nest and dispossessing their own children. That's a great story. So now the Tuies, who were basically gonzo sports fanatics, are now saintly creatures. Well, likewise, now Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis were great civil rights icons. So now we can like them rather than hate them as Southern white men, James.
Yeah, you hit a couple of my buttons there. I should add this, though. I say this at the risk of sounding almost respectable. But you mentioned The Blind Side, which I guess it's the formative elements of that story took place at my old school, Briarcrest Christian School here. I was just alerted, well, I say just, a couple of months ago I was alerted that the Wikipedia page for Briarcrest lists me as one of the 10 most notable alumni as a result of my work on their show. And then one of the other 10 is Michael Orr, who was the subject of the film The Blind Side. And I was just alerted to this, that the Wikipedia entry for paleoconservative also has us listed, although don't get too excited about that. We're also listed in the list of the most racist and anti-Semitic organizations in the country as
compiled
well.
By our by Muslims. Multiple choice. That compilation was produced by one, Muslims, two, Mexicans, or three, Jews.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now, remember this. You mentioned Michael Orr, another one of the athletes that they brought to Briarcrest to play was Greg Hardy.
Right, one of the biggest thugs in the league.
Yeah, one of the biggest thugs, an abuser of women.
In the NFL.
Sexual and physical. And he's just about been kicked out of the NFL twice. He got picked up by the win-at-all-costs Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. And now he's had more run-ins, more problems. But, you know, we've got to overlook all of that and understand, you know, where he's coming from, apparently. In other words, just like the people at Black Lives Matter think we need to not ever judge black males for their criminal behavior. Now, here's another great article. It came out in today, and not in today, back Thursday's commercial appeal on page 2A. Halle Berry has chimed in on this Oscars So White controversy. In other words, black activists are complaining that there are no black nominees for the Oscars this year. Well, she said, that's because Hollywood is untruthful. They don't tell us the full involvement and the extent of involvement of black people in our day-to-day lives, our culture, and our way of life. Well, I agree for once with Halle Berry. By the way, I met Halle Berry one time, and I swear, you look at her and you think she's a white woman. That's, you know, when you meet her face-to-face and in person. Well, she's right. If Hollywood was really truthful, every crime drama on TV and in the movies would have a predominance of black actors and actresses involved in it. White people would either be police or victims in all of these things. Likewise, for these specials they have about domestic violence, ditto, be the same thing. Just think about that. They've really uncovered something there, you know, but of course, that's where Hollywood is really untruthful. For example, think about these ads you see for alarm companies. They always have some burglar type, you know, guiltily skulking away, and every time it's a white guy. But if you look at crime statistics in a place like Memphis, almost every time it's a black guy. But that's the truth. That's an inconvenient truth, is to borrow Al Gore's phrase, and that's something they don't want us to know about. They can't reference it, and if you speak about it, you're met with one of those stopper words: you're a racist, or you're an anti-Semite, or that like you. And if you point out that Jews are behind all this broadcasting, then you're an anti-Semite.
We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the Pure Effect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting pureeffectfilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit pureeffectfilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. I don't know how I have failed to mention this yet, I guess because I'm a little under the weather, and it happened before I went out of town last week, which was, of course, before last week's show, and I guess it's old news now, but I was contacted about a week and a half ago by CBS Radio in Australia, and they wanted to have me on to talk about Trump. This was before Iowa. They treated me great. I didn't even post anything about that on the website because I never could find
the link,
but or the audio. But it was great and treated with respect. Like I said, I run the risk. I certainly don't want to become respectable, but all this stuff about being, you know, a notable alumni and paleoconservative, actually being called a paleoconservative, which is what I call myself, that's so rare. But they were fine, and I guess there's nothing else to be said about that. It was interesting, though. I got the email at about 11 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday night, which made it like middle of the day on March 3rd in Australia, but we were able to do it with the time differential and all.
And the irony of all that, James, is that if truth prevailed, as Halle Berry apparently wants it to in Hollywood and in the media generally, you would be ultimately respectable. So would I.
We would not be driven to the margins
the way we are because we speak truth to power.
And
this is a truth that Halle Berry is right. Hollywood does not deal in the truth. Of course, if they dealt in the truth, we would be seeing all sorts of, there would be no lack of black actors in all these crime dramas that we see on TV,
for
example.
It's such a joke. You know, when an all-black cast and an all-black crew get together to make a movie, black director, black producer, all-black actors, they come up with something like 50 Shades of Black. You know, they make these movies once or twice a year. They'll get a popular movie. In this case, regrettably, it was 50 Shades of Grey. But and they make a parody on it, and it's just ridiculous. It's horrible.
And it's aimed totally at the black population, and they those are the only people
all
that want to see this.
Madea movies, you know, all those Madea does this, Madea, this guy dressed up in drag as a woman. And then they get upset that garbage like that doesn't win an Oscar. I mean, come on.
And furthermore, just think about this, James. It's equally important that there's nothing that when you have a social justice warrior like Quentin Tarantino making movies, he always focuses on black people snuffing white people. From Pulp Fiction on forward, he just dabbled in it in Pulp Fiction. He had some white teenager blown away by a black drug dealer.
Who was Samuel L. Jackson, and we've talked about
that. Right, and Samuel, and this latest one, Birth of a Nation, celebrating the murderous slave uprising by Nat Turner in Virginia in 1831, in which 50 white people, including women and children, were mercilessly butchered by this, psychopath. Those are the people that they want us to rever, and they're basically modeling behavior. It's even more sinister than that. They're modeling behavior. They're showing black people and non-whites how to get it done if the revolution ever comes, if it ever breaks, if the dam ever breaks, this is how you go about killing white people. And that is, you know, that may sound extreme, but watch these movies. That's what they are. They're basically white snuff movies.
Well, that's right, and it comes from the usual suspects out there in Hollywood. And you mentioned it, I think, a couple of weeks ago on the show. You know, we know that Hollywood is completely bought and paid for, completely owned and operated by Jewish individuals. And if they're not giving blacks awards, you know they don't deserve awards because they do get awards. They win more Academy Awards for the various categories based upon their they win a greater percentage of Academy Awards, I should say, than exists their percentage of the population.
Well, we don't have B movies anymore like they used to have in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. That was before television. But basically, their place has been taken by these black movies, like the Madea movies. They're basically pale imitations of other, movies that had a predominantly white cast made earlier. And see, these movies are just that they're an inferior product, but it doesn't matter. The black population laps them up, and social and people are so hungry to go see. They're so easily manipulated by the media that even James will go, he says, you know, he likes these new movies better than the old movies. Well, I can't stand the new movies because I see the poison that is laced through them. And, you know, that's why at my house, you watch old movies. Think about this. And when black people are portrayed in the movies, even in a mainstream movie, it's totally unrealistic and untruthful. I agree with Halle Berry. Think about the old original Die Hard movie with Bruce Willis. The arch violent villain was this blonde Nordic weightlifter guy. You know, we have a lot of problems with Nordic criminals in America, right? Wrong. But the black guy that was in the criminal gang was the computer genius.
Yeah, but you know what? Obviously, I filter that stuff out. I actually like the Die Hards. I love it.
Well, I like it, but I see the poison, and I see what they're doing to uncritical audiences, particularly the young.
It's funny you mention that because that gives me a wonderful opportunity to pass along that a truly fine actor in that movie, Alan Rickman, passed away. Alan Rickman played Hans Gruber in that movie. He passed away just a couple of weeks ago.
The ultimate villain.
Really one of my favorite. Right, yeah, he was a German.
Yeah,
so, you know,
German that. White guy. You know, is there anything more evil on the face of the earth?
No, there's not, and that's why he was the villain. But he was a great actor, been in a lot of movies. That was his big breakthrough. Alan Rickman passed away. And, you know, he was one of my favorites. But I do want to say this. This really has been me tonight. This isn't Sam disguising his voice as me, even though I am. If I get any more hoarse tonight, I would be Bushman. But what we're going to do here, because I am feeling just absolutely awful, what we're going to do is we are going to play a tape in the third hour. I had to come in here and punch the clock for a little while tonight. And I'm glad I did it. I didn't want to miss y'all 2 weeks in a row. I thought last week's show was great. It gave Eddie an opportunity to run Unleashed, and Tex Mars was fantastic. Sam Bushman did his normal, completely professional job of breaking down Oregon in the second hour. But as I mentioned, I had originally had the idea of playing three taped programs, three taped hours last week, and then we called an audible. We did play the Pat Buchanan interview in the third hour of last week's show again, folks. I do this from time to time, very rarely. Very rarely do we ever play a tape. But I do like doing it sometimes because it just reminds people, particularly the new listeners, that you can go back all the way to 2004 and there are no shortage of absolute treasures in our broadcast archives. And a lot of those interviews made big, big news. The Buchanan one did that we replayed last week. Coming up now in the third hour, we're going to replay an interview that we did in 2014 with Anthony Cumia. Anthony Cumia was back in the news for no good reason recently. But that was another big interview that made a lot of big news. And if you haven't heard it before, you can listen to it. And if you have heard it before, you might want to listen to it again because it was quite good. And I think the Buchanan interview, as well as many of them, are interviews that you should listen to no matter how many times. I actually listened to that one last week, and it was just as good as the first time. So that's coming up in the third hour. I wanted to give you a few minutes advance notice that we were going to play a tape. We are going to play a tape. I got to get some rest. We're going to play a tape at this third hour. And when we come back next week, folks, we are going to celebrate the Trump victory in New Hampshire, which is going to pave a way for the sweep of the Trump train through the South. And if I have
the heartland of America,
right, our land, Dixie. And if I haven't set my face up for a giant egg, I don't know how else I could do it. But I'm being bold, I'm being brave, I'm being hopeful.
We'll see if election fraud rules or whether the will of the people does, James.
Well, I think it's going to be fine if you're a Trump man. If you're not a Trump man, that's okay too.
There'll be a lot of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth.
This has been one of the issues traditionally that the political cesspool audience doesn't really come to terms with. We see eye to eye with each other on almost everything. Our audience and the hosting staff here in the studio are very congruent. But when it comes to how to vote, you know, there's always, when it comes to election years, I always get a mix of feedback. Some people saying, well, I just got to vote for Romney. It'll be better than, you know, Obama. That's fine. I'm going to vote for Hillary because, or Obama because, you know, worse is better. We got to end this thing, and the sooner we can end it by putting in the worst people, then the better. I understand that too on some levels. I have always been the guy, vote for the best guy no matter what the odds, which is why I've voted for Michael Peruka and Pat Buchanan and Chuck Baldwin and all of that. Last year I voted for Merlin Miller, or last round, 2012. So I've always gone the third-party route, and a lot of people do that, but it's always been a kind of a three-way split with how our audience goes to vote. I think this year it's going to be much higher than that for Trump, but there's certainly some people out in our audience that I'm sure aren't voting for Trump, even though it looks as though most of them are.
The reason I'm supporting Trump, and I think the reason why James is too, is that
we like men. As men, we
like
men.
Well, not only that, but he is the one candidate who has connections outside of the usual suspects in government. Let's say that Ted Cruz really wanted to do something about trading our trade profile with China. He would have to depend on the typical group of bureaucrats and technocrats in Washington, and when all is said and done, more would be said than done. They would sabotage him. They would fifth column any effort to make a real meaningful change regarding American manufacturing. On the other hand, Trump has people like Carl Icahn he could send over to China and tell them, look, this is how the cow eats cabbage. We're going to change the way things are done. You can either like it or you can not like it, but you ain't going to change it.
And I'll tell you, of course there exists a chance that Trump may not be what we think he is or what we hope he is. But if he isn't, we're no worse off than we would be with any of the usual suspects. So I'm going to have hope that he is going to be different, and that's why I'm voting for him. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking about New Hampshire then. Good night, everybody. Stay tuned for the third hour, which is going to be a rebroadcast. I'm going to get rested up, come back at full strength next week. We love you. God bless.
Radio Network.